First scripture lesson today is Psalms chapter 118, verses 19 through 23, which is actually different than that listed in your bulletin. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 29 through 44. When Jesus had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples ahead, saying,
"Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'"
So those who were sent departed and found it as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them,
"Why are you untying the colt?" they said.
"The Lord needs it."
Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying,
"Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven."
Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him,
"Teacher, order your disciples to stop."
He answered,
"I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out."
As Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying,
"If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God."
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, must have been a dream come true for some of his disciples. If you've been watching The Chosen with us, I think you can really imagine Simon Peter particularly being excited about this big coup, right? Finally, they must have thought, Jesus is getting the recognition that he deserves. Finally, people will see what this has all been about. Finally, this movement will gain some real momentum and will have the power to make some changes around here. After all, I imagine that most, if not all, of the disciples had certain expectations in mind when they said yes to following Jesus. Not that they would have thought that they could bend Jesus to their will, more just that they had been taught to watch and hope for the arrival of the Messiah since they were children. And alongside that hope, they were inevitably taught some ideas of what that would look like. Maybe the overthrow of Rome, or the glorious freedom, finally, of the Hebrew people, the shakedown of hypocritical religious leaders, or the poor and the righteous finally enjoying peace and prosperity while the wicked and the rich got what they deserved. And all those visions of liberation have roots in scripture. So when the one who appeared to fulfill other scriptural expectations showed up, the one, Jesus, for whom John the Baptist prepared the way, just like scripture said, the one who preached Isaiah's words about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him to bring good news to the poor, the one who rode in on a donkey's colt, just like the prophet Zechariah said he would, well, it's understandable that they believed Jesus would fulfill their other expectations as well. All along the way, Jesus had told them that he would fulfill other, less triumphal scriptural prophecies too. You may remember as recently as last week, in fact, he warned the disciples that we are going up to Jerusalem and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. And after they have flogged him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. But they understood nothing about all these things, the text says. Because when we are really, truly, desperately longing for something to be true, we often don't listen to or look for evidence that things won't turn out the way that we want. I wonder where in our lives we are expecting God to show up one way, maybe triumphant or vindicating, helping us achieve our goals or get back at our enemies, only to find that God is showing up in a different way, sometimes the exact opposite way. When I was working with people experiencing homelessness and often addiction, it was tempting to expect God to show up by healing someone of their alcoholism or their drug habit and getting them safely housed. But more often, God showed up in the form of unconditional friendship that reminded each of us that we are loved just as we are, even without the healing or the fix. When Chris and I started a new church in Atlanta, it was hard not to expect God to show up in filled pews and growing numbers. But more often, God showed up in one-on-one conversations with someone who felt that they finally belonged in our small community, despite having been previously rejected by church. Someone who was beginning to heal. When I worked as a chaplain in a children's cancer ward, I definitely expected God to show up by curing the kids I had come to love. Sometimes that happened, but God also showed up just as powerfully in the faith of a mother singing her 7-year-old daughter home to Jesus. Before the pandemic hit Park Avenue, I was sometimes tempted to expect that God would show up because I showed up, or maybe more accurately, I was afraid that God wouldn't show up if I didn't plan events and make projects happen as the leader of the church. But having very limited time to make ministry happen with kids home much of this year, I've been reminded that God actually shows up through each of us showing up, through the folks who have said yes to joining or leading our post-COVID worship planning team or our Thriving Congregations initiative, or those who helped make our hugely successful variety show happen, or those who are picking up our anti-racism work or continuing to reach out to isolated church friends, and to each of you who shows up at church at worship every week. That's where God is showing up, and I'm so glad that I haven't held on too long to the vision I had of how it was supposed to be, because I would have missed where God is now. It must have been a real shock to follow Jesus on his colt, carried along by the thrill of the cheering, chanting, dizzy crowd, on a high from experiencing the apparent pinnacle of Jesus's ministry, and then less than a week later to be trying desperately not to be recognized, hidden among the mob calling for his death and jeering at his humiliation. It must have been a shock to realize that their leader, their beloved teacher, was to be crucified by the Romans, was to die what the Torah calls a cursed death. It must have been a shock to find they weren't at the pinnacle at all, but rather at rock bottom. I know some of us have experienced that. An apparent high followed by a desperate low, the revelation that what we longed for wasn't to be, or the apparent abandonment by God in our worst hour. But just like the disciples, perhaps we have also realized that the worst was not the end, that there was indeed something beautiful and life-giving to look forward to, that God had and still does continue to work for good, even especially amongst the shambles of our lives. God often does not show up how we expect that God will. But this week reminds us that that does not mean that God is not there. May we not mistake disappointment that things didn't go how we hoped for God's absence. May we not miss our time of visitation from God, as the gospel reading says. May we learn yet again this week that God is in the business of disrupting our expectations and of bringing goodness out of every hurt and disappointment. Amen. I think if you're a parent with young kids, your expectations get disrupted a lot. And it is truly by God's grace that we are reminded to look for the gift that is in that anyway. So go in peace, go out into your world and out into the rest of your day, looking for ways that disrupted expectations might just be the beginning of something new, some new opening, some new place where God is meeting you, despite how you thought it might have gone. And go into this week to walk with Jesus through disrupted expectations for his ministry as well.
Yes, I hear you. Okay, just a minute.
Go in peace or stay in peace for coffee hour.